Tales of Zendaya, Chapter 3, The Beast and Bard. There was a moment of perfect weightless silence as April stepped off the balustrade of the roof terrace. Ranger Salanth looked on with a smile. Willow tore after her friend, and in one swift leap joined her in midair. "Ha!" laughed Salanth in surprise. Both April and Willow disappeared from view, and Salanth raised his arms in a grand, triumphant gesture. April's eyes remained closed. She could feel nothing but air surrounding her and a growing wind blasting her face. Suddenly, she felt as if she was no longer falling. She opened her eyes, and sure enough, she was slowly rising back up towards the roof. Willow was confusedly trying to stand on the wind, legs flailing and fur flying. Salanth brought them back up to his eyeline, manipulating the air around them.
"Salanth, this is amazing!" April shouted giddily.
"Wind is the difference between life and death. It allows you to breathe, controls the tides, helps crops grow and birds fly." He brought the pair over to him and hovered them a few feet above the roof terrace. "It can be your support," he raised them a little further up, blasting air at them, "or it can be your downfall." Suddenly, Willow and April crashed to the ground in front of Salanth.
"Oof!"
April landed on her front and had the wind knocked out of her. "As aeromancy will be your first training in the elements and extrinsic magics, it's key that you develop a visceral understanding of what you're working with."
"Visceral understanding comes from being dropped on the floor?"
April winced as she clambered to her feet and Willow shook the dust out of her coat.
"How can one truly understand the effects of something without first experiencing them?"
Salanth retorted with a sly smile. "Which brings us to our first piece of homework."
"Yes! What am I doing? Hovering? Making huge gusts of wind?"
April asked excitedly.
"You will be listening."
April's excitement soon evaporated.
"Oh, I do enough of that during telemancy," she cried.
"Then you should be aware of its importance. But I should be more clear. You will be listening and sensing until you become one with the wind."
"How is it you think I dodged your blows with the sword before?"
April thought for a moment. True enough, she didn't land a single hit against Salanth when they were dueling.
"Leafwind?"
"Precisely," Salanth smiled. "Aeromancy and the skill of Leafwind are intertwined. In both cases, the mage must be able to predict airflow and have exceptional sensitivity to the element of air itself. With Leafwind, you must also train your body, but you can worry about that should you choose to learn it."
"So how do I sense air?" April asked.
"Much the same as you did when you stepped off that balustrade. I'm certain you felt it. The quiet sense of peace, like there was nothing else in the world except for you and the wind." Salanth blew a gentle breeze at April from his palms. "If you're in doubt, close your eyes and hark your mind back to that moment." On cue, April closed her eyes and thought back. Her spine tingled, the tiny hairs on her arms raised. She could feel every current and every motion. With it came a calming feeling she couldn't quite describe. Salanth watched her carefully. "I expect you to practice this at every available opportunity. Until you're one with the wind, there's not much more I can teach, so it's imperative that you grasp it quickly." He walked up to April with Willow eyeing him warily. April awoke from her daze and was confronted with piercing blue eyes staring through her. The man with his face half-covered and dressed all in black was still imposing, even if she no longer considered him an assassin.
"Do I have your word?"
he asked.
"You do," she nodded. "I'll work at it whenever I can."
"Good. That's enough for one day. I look forward to seeing your progress next week," he nodded at the princess.
"Me too. And, Ranger Salanth? I'm sorry I attacked you. It's just after Dryleaf Forest."
"I understand. And soon enough I'll explain that to you. In the meantime, work hard." And with that, he delicately stepped up to the balustrade himself, turned to face April with a glimmer in his eye, and fell backwards off the ledge. She ran to the stone barrier and looked over the side. He had completely disappeared. No sign of him in the air, and thankfully no sign of him on the ground.
"Well, that was a surprise, eh, girl?"
Willow looked up at April quizzically.
"We should go tell Dad what's happened."
They were both quite exhausted from the stress of the afternoon's lesson, and the pair slowly traipsed down to the king's study. April knocked 3 times on the large hardwood door.
Enter!
The king's voice boomed from inside. They went in. The king was stood over an enormous wooden table which had carved into it a map of Zendaria and the surrounding territories. Helspeth, Findar, Takaria, Grendon, they were all there. On various portions of the map stood what looked like pieces from a board game, and the king was staring at them intensely. April walked closer to the table, and finally her father looked up at her.
Ah, April, did you finish your lesson early? What did you think of the ranger?
He smiled. April considered what exactly to tell him. Yet again an opportunity to confess about Dryleaf Forest had appeared, but she wasn't sure if it would break Salanth's trust, or if it was even something worth mentioning at all.
He's great, she replied. I'm surprised you're okay with me learning pyromancy.
Though actually Ranger Salanth is teaching me aeromancy first.
Ah, of course. You need to learn another elemental magic before coming to pyromancy. And yes, it's a dangerous discipline, but whether I like it or not, my girl is growing up.
April looked up at her dad, his figure towering above her, and smiled.
Besides, as I've not a lick of magical talent, I feel as though you should take in as much as you can.
I'm trying. I jumped off the roof today to learn about aeromancy.
The king's eyes closed and he raised a palm to his face.
Bloody mages, he muttered.
I'm fine, though, and so is Willow.
The dog had gone to lay down in her usual spot in front of the unlit fire, but she cocked an ear at the mention of her name.
I suppose he is a ranger. If we can't trust them, then we're all doomed. Listen, I have some business to attend to in town this evening, so I was wondering if you might like supper at the tavern tonight. It would give Miss Regibald the night off, at least.
That sounds great. Will Bolthar be there?
April asked.
Most likely. It is his tavern.
That'll be so good. I haven't seen him in an age, April said happily.
Then it's settled. I'll let Miss Regibald know she can have the evening off. I still have a few things to finish up here. Do you have any studying to do for the next hour or so?
April went and sat in her tall armchair in front of the fireplace.
I'm still working my way through Kelathor's definitive guide to magics. I think I should brush up on my aeromancy knowledge,
April said, reaching for the thick tome on the end table next to her chair.
Wise thinking, said the king, before he began shuffling pieces around the map, putting them back and then moving other pieces.
This continued for a while before King Quoisteed sat at his desk and began writing numerous letters and sealing them with the royal seal of Zendaria. April opened Kelathor's guide and turned to the pages on aeromancy. She'd already read the chapter some months back, but a refresher couldn't hurt if she was to become an aeromancer. The words jumbled around on the page, jittering and shaking. April had always taken a long time to read things, as half the time was spent simply trying to get the letters to stay still. Despite her difficulties, she loved reading, and pressed on. The chapter covered the origins of aeromancy. In legend, it was said that the first masters of air were birds, and they deigned to share this gift with the mages in exchange for protection from some of the other darker creatures in the world, many of which now only existed in books. April began delving into some of the more technical aspects of aeromancy, too. Stances and hand signs, the notion of becoming one with the air, different ways of manipulating airflow, but as she began to comprehend what Salanth would soon be teaching her properly, the king interrupted.
All right, I'm finished for now. Are you ready to head into the town?
He asked. April looked at her ticker-tock watch, and sure enough, well over an hour had passed.
Yes, I'm ready,
she said, closing the book and putting it back on the end table. Willow yawned, mouth agape, stretched, and stood up. The three of them strolled downstairs, and upon walking through the main doors of the palace, one of the guards that was littered throughout stopped them.
Highness, sir!
The man stood to attention. He wore full-plated armor and was armed with a halberd, sword, and a small set of bombs.
Do you require an escort, sir?
No, no, Stanisforth, we're quite all right. Only going into the town,
the king replied. He always seemed slightly bemused by the loyalty of his guard.
Are you sure, sir? It would be my honour, and the honour of any king's guard so privileged to accompany you.
Stanisforth's voice practically bellowed.
No, really, it's okay, though I appreciate your commitment to your duties. I couldn't ask for a more dedicated king's guard.
The king placed his hand on the man's shoulder.
Thank you, sir.
He looked as though he was about to cry. It truly is an honor to serve the most benevolent king, Handel Quosteed, uniter and protector of the great land of Zendaya. Stanisforth's lip quivered.
And it is an honor to be protected by such loyal soldiers, said the king, as he, April, and Willow began walking down the steps to the palace. It was a long, winding road that led to the town, through a clear pathway with occasional coverage from trees. On the way, April absent-mindedly played with her wooden sword, charred though it was, replaying the duel with Silanth in her head.
What happened there? The king asked, gesturing at the burnt blade of the sword.
A demonstration from Ranger Silanth, April said sheepishly.
Having you leap off buildings and scorching your sword? Well, this won't do. The king was lost in thought for a moment. Bring the sword to me tomorrow, all right?
Okay, Dad.
Eventually they made their way into the town. It was bustling as the day's trade was coming to a close. The local market was winding down, and while the king and princess of Zendaya, plus Willow of course, were a sight to see, it was not so uncommon that the people would stop going about their day. The town of Greenbridge stood between the royal palace and the city of Zendar. Once the palace was built, the town slowly grew in service of those who worked for the monarchy, the military, or simply those wishing to visit. Of course, with Greenbridge being built on a main crossroad through the continent, many travellers would also stay there while passing through. The trio soon came to the local tavern, the Beast and Bard, and entered through the large wooden door. Despite the beaming sunlight outside, the interior of the tavern was dim, lit by rows of candles and a glowing fire. Most of the local patrons stopped mid-drink to stare at who had just walked into their pub. While April could often get away with being relatively incognito, the king struck an imposing figure. He was tall, broad-shouldered, long-bearded, and generally enormous. Of course, there was also the fact that his face was on all of the money. It made blending in a tad difficult.
"Your Highness!" a voice rang out across the bar. "And Princess April! It's so good to see you!"
Walking to greet them was Bolthar, the proprietor of the tavern, who was also a certified dwarf. His dwarven lineage went back millennia, though most of his family was still in Hellspeth, native land of the dwarven race. He grasped the king's hand and shook it firmly before giving April a warm hug and, of course, stroking Willow as she licked his other hand. Contrary to rumor, dwarves were not a particularly small people. Generally speaking, the natives of Hellspeth were a few inches shorter than Zendarians, but the king recalled seeing some gigantic dwarves in his time. Bolthar, in fact, was only a few inches shorter than the king, with a striking brown mohawk haircut and plaited beard.
"So, what brings you to my fine establishment this summer's eve?" Bolthar asked.
"I have some business to attend to upstairs. I believe you already have some guests waiting?"
"Oh," Bolthar tapped his nose twice. "Say no more, Highness. Upstairs, second door on the left," he said conspiratorially.
"And how about you two?" he said, eyeing the princess and her dog.
"Lemonade and the finest table, my good man."
April raised her nose and held her arm out for Bolthar to escort her.
"But of course, O divinest majesty."
He smiled and bowed several times jokingly.
"I'll be back down soon. Pick what you like for dinner, April."
"Oh, staying for supper, are we? Of course, we only have the finest dishes for the princess," Bolthar winked.
The king wandered upstairs as April and Willow were seated at a table directly opposite the bar. A tankard of lemonade and a bowl of water was served to them, and Bolthar returned behind the bar to attend to his customers.
What should we do while we wait, Willow?" April asked the furry friend.
Willow looked up curiously before laying on the floor and closing her eyes.
"Meditation? Here? Well, worth a try, I suppose."
She took a sip of her lemonade before closing her eyes. Suddenly, Silanth's voice echoed in her head.
"Practice this at every available opportunity."
There wasn't exactly much wind in the tavern, but she supposed that she would someday need to summon air where there wasn't any. Casting her mind back, April recalled the feelings of standing on the balustrade, stepping into nothingness and trusting the air to catch her. Her spine once again tingled, and she tried to hold on to the feeling as long as she could, though it grew more intense with every second. Over the course of several minutes, she would find the feeling and then it would dissipate. Sometimes it would elude her grasp for a while, but it always returned eventually. Across the tavern, a group of men grew rowdy, shouting, singing battle songs, and drinking more than their fair share of ale.
"Hey, I tell you what, Zendaya might be a dung heap, but this ale ain't bad," one shouted.
"Tomorrow we're one step closer to home, boys, and another step away from that conqueror's bassa quoestied," another yelled in a deep, gruff voice.
April opened one of her eyes. She knew the word bassa to be negative, though her father would never tell her the exact meaning.
"Aye, no proud Takarian could stomach this place too long anyhow."
Ah, April thought. The Takarians had a tense relationship with Zendaya. There was currently a tentative peace after a varied history of battles, skirmishes, and all-out wars. The drunken group all wore the Takarian sigil somewhere about their person, a sword crossed with an axe over a white pot flower. Soldiers, most likely. She closed her eye again.
"Oi, hang about. That bearded bloke that came in afore, didn't that look a wee bit like Quoestied?"
"Ah, don't be daft, Mason. Why in blunder would a king come into a local tavern?"
"No, no, I swears it. The bar bloke was all bowing and whatnot to the wee lass with him."
"Oh, that one over there?"
One of them pointed at April.
"Aye, that's her. Well, I'll be."
The pair of them split off from the group and staggered over to April. Willow was still laid down, but alert and ready.
"Lassie! Oi, lassie!"
April sighed and opened her eyes. She was confronted with the sight of two unwashed-looking men in green and the stench of ale breath.
"Are yous the princess, then, of that nefarious bassa Quoestied?" one asked.
She eyed the pair carefully. "My name is Princess April Quoestied, daughter of King Handel Quoestied and heir to the throne of Zendaya." She stared at the pair fiercely. "And you are interrupting my studies."
"It's her! It's her! By Mordrath, it's her! Right, girlie, you're a-coming with us!"
The burliest of the pair grabbed April's forearm and yanked her up from her seat. In a flash, the burly man was sent flying backwards and crashed into the bar, splintering the wooden frame. Blood gushed from the man's mouth and he doubled forwards onto the floor. Where he had been standing, King Quoestied was locked into a fighting stance, eyes aflame and steam emanating from his body. If one were to look closely, you could see his muscles ripple with energy. In the same moment, April leapt into the air and brought her knee crashing into the other Takarian's nose, breaking it with ease. Willow jumped and caught the man's wrist in her jaw, biting and yanking him hard to the ground with a crack. Bolthar leapt over the bar with the double-sided axe in his hand and faced the remaining Takarian soldiers.
"Right then, who wants some?"